go, Novak.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We get Harvest.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
You, but I've waited all week for this show tonight, and I hope you have too. We've got a great show ready for you tonight. I'm jacked. I really am. Lots going on in the world of politics this week, and I'm ready to talk about it. We've got a variety of issues we want to talk about tonight. We've got the studio is just alive with action here. We're trying some new things in the studio. Erica is over there coordinating everything. She's out in the control room. Ron's pushing the buttons. Johnny's producing the show. He's got a whole bunch of new things for you and new elements of the show. We're trying to clean up our act here. And, of course, Lila is directing the whole business there. So just like, you know, like the New York Philharmonic is what we got going on in here. And most of all, we've got you out there listening tonight, and we're going to try and make this an enjoyable and learning experience for a lot of you. That's right. And we're coming to you from the blue waters and the sandy beaches of beautiful Fort Myers and Naples, Florida area. Oh, God, it's nice here. It really is. I hate to say that every week, but it is. It's fabulous. It's wonderful living here in paradise. But we are so happy to have you along with us this evening. Many, many things we want to talk about. Of course, the Karl Rove issue is still on the burner right now, burning away. We've got the John Roberts issue going full blast. Oh, my God, did I make some people mad last week when I started talking about not fighting the Roberts thing too hard because he's going to get it anyway. I got to tell you, we Democrats, this is tough. We Democrats have, well, it's like the guy says, it's like a wheelbarrow full of cats. After last week's program, I got more hate mail than I've ever gotten before on this program, and it wasn't from the right. It was from some of my listeners on the left because I made a comment that, hey, Roberts was getting in anyway, and why waste our bullets on that? And I didn't mean, God, people take things the wrong way. I don't mean the abortion issue, the pro-choice issue is a wasted issue. It most certainly is not. But I got to tell you, we got to act like, we're in the minority right now, or maybe we're not in the minority, but we've lost a lot of battles. And we've got to act like the American soldiers in the Revolutionary War. You remember that? They had this big army out there, and we had a bunch of guys, a ragtag army, and we had to once in a while retreat and hide behind trees and wait for the proper moment to jump out and get them. That's what we had to do. And that's what we got to do now, not to wait. But back to what I was saying, wow, the hate mail I got. And it was from some of my Democratic friends. And I got to tell you, as you know, this show works because of donor contributions to the program. Had a lot of people cancel out last week because I made that statement. And I find that very unfortunate that we can have a program and talk about 75 issues, and if we disagree on one, we got a bunch of them wanting to jump off the ship. I don't think that's wise. I know a lot of you don't think that's wise, and we're gone. Okay. I don't know if we're All right. Anyway, it's just a distressing situation. It really is. And I want to briefly just tell some of our local listeners here and some of you on the internet that may not have heard what I did last week. After that happened, I got to tell you, I was quite upset over it. Quite upset over it that we have become a party with people all beating the bandwagon, their own bandwagon, for one issue. And I got to tell you something. If we continue to act that way, we're never going to win another major election. If we've got a bunch of us out here with 50 different issues, and we're not willing to work together on each other's issues, and if you don't take care of my issue first, I'm bailing, and I'm going to go vote green, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, we're going to be losers. We're going to be losers from now till the end of time, if that's the way this party wants to act. Okay? But I posted something on the internet last week after this whole thing happened, and about all this big explosion after the show last week. And I just want to quickly, I'll read you what I posted, and some of our local listeners didn't see it, and some of you on the internet didn't see it. But we all know that the right-wing dominated talk show industry is fraught with lies and deception. And every day you can tune into one of their programs and hear more propaganda than you ever thought possible. And truth is a casualty of right-wing talk radio. Remember, this is what I posted on the internet last week after the show, after I got this torrent of hate mail from some of you. On Saturday evening's Guy James show, I gave my opinion concerning the Roberts nomination. I didn't endorse the man. In fact, I'm not at all impressed with him. However, I felt that I should explain my position because I feel we have limited political capital to spend, and we must spend it wisely. I think that if we spend our time and treasure on the abortion issue, we're wasting some of those valuable resources. And let me explain why I feel that way. And again, I want to say, I don't mean that's a wasted issue. I just don't want to use ammunition that we will waste if we join the battle and lose. First of all, the odds are at least 100-1 that we'll block the nomination. The Republicans are prepared to use the nuclear option to stop any filibuster we might try, and they will use the talk show network to propagandize this issue like never before. Secondly, and most importantly, I really do not believe the Republicans will overturn Roe v. Wade. They've successfully used it as a political club against the Democrats for decades, and they relish the thought of continuing on with their baby killer rhetoric. My opinion is in no way aimed at demeaning the importance of the pro-choice cause. I'm just being realistic and honest. I do believe we need to concentrate our efforts on the Roe scandal and keep it in front of the public until all of the sordid details are brought into the light of day. I sincerely believe this issue will totally destroy the credibility of Bush and the Republican Party for a long time to come. It's not about Roe, but rather it's about the massive deception on the part of the Bush administration, and we need to push this issue. So why am I bringing this up? Because, as I just explained to you, after our broadcast this past Saturday evening, we received quite a few emails from Democratic Underground members saying that they're canceling their financial support of this show, and frankly, I'm shocked that a single issue would cause someone to withdraw support of a liberal program, especially when liberal programs are so rare these days. I feel what we do is important, especially since we're in a huge swing state. The people dropping support of our program may well cause the demise of our broadcast, and that's a fact. All of this because I was honest and open about expressing an opinion. This is the problem with we liberals. The Republicans speak with one voice, and we use the shotgun approach, which is becoming less and less effective every single day. And if we're going to be a party of single-issue voters, we will never, ever return to the glory days of the great Democratic Party. We'll fade into oblivion because we cut off our noses despite our faces. I'm sad indeed that many Democratic Underground members have decided to withdraw their support of our program because of this issue. I have always endeavored to be honest and straightforward with my views on this show, and that's all I was doing. I just wanted you to know my opinion as to why liberal radio will never enjoy meaningful success. It's because so many Democrats are so selfish by having to have one issue, their one issue, promoted. Meanwhile, the greater good is forgotten. Our show may well fade away because of this, but if we leave, we'll leave with our self-respect intact. And I want to tell you something right now. I don't take back one single word of what I said. I will stand by what I said. I meant it. I meant it when I said it. I mean it now. And if you don't like it, that's just too bad. That's the way it has to be. I don't know. But I want to know what you have, what you want to think, say about radio. I want to know what it is that liberal radio needs to be, needs to have in order to attract an audience like the right-wingers do. We all know that Limbaugh and Hannity and some of the other folks on the other side are extremely successful. And we know that they only need to talk about three or four issues all day long, and they'll have a legions of listeners from now for and forevermore. Democrats, on the other hand, I would need a 24-hour show or at least a 12-hour show every single day to cover all the territory I would need to cover to satisfy everybody that might be listening because of this single issue thing I just said. So I want to ask you tonight, what is it that you want from a liberal radio program? Air America, Ed Schultz, and some of those folks have kind of blazed a new trail, but as the ratings are proven, they're not catching fire. It is not catching fire across this country. I want to know if you wonder why, if you know why that it's not catching fire, is it because they're not giving you what you want? Is it because we Democrats are so different in our philosophies and our makeup than those on the right wing? Do you want a show with nothing but information? Do you want an NPR-type program where we're just here giving you solid information during the whole program? Or do you want a show with a little entertainment and a little pizzazz to it? Speaking of pizzazz, I've got some Republican love letters tonight that you just won't believe. Really, you won't believe it. They have outdone themselves, I want to tell you, better than any time ever before. It's amazing. But call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you think about liberal radio. I want to know if you think there truly is a future for liberal radio, because right now, I got my doubts. I really do. You know, the most listened to liberal radio program in America is Al Franken on Air America. Whether he deserves to be or not, that's up to you. I don't know. I'm not going to make that judgment. But he's the most listened to program, and I can tell you the ratings just aren't there. They're not there. And they're not there for any big time later, you know, national program. I mean, we've got Ed Schultz on a bunch of little stations now, 70 stations. Some of them are okay, some of them medium, some of them small market stations. But this is not any big house of fire going on with liberal radio. And I want to know, why do you think it's failing? I want to know. And, you know, Randy Rhodes. We had Randy Rhodes. I know why Randy's successful. She was successful in a major market over in Miami. She was number one in her area. Commercially, she proved herself. And now she's in the Big Apple doing Air America. She's in a whole different venue right now. And, you know, I'm not criticizing Air America. I'm not criticizing that Air America at all. They're blazing a trail that needs to be blazed. But I think the pitfall of all that is, if Air America fails, it's going to be doggone tough to start that animal back up again and get somebody else on the air and start the whole liberal radio thing going again. So it's going to be tough. Let us know what you think. I want an honest and open opinion. If you think this show just absolutely sucks, I want you to call in and tell me so. If you like it, I want to know. If you think we're doing something all wrong, tell us. I expect, since we're Democrats, we're going to hear a variety of things from you. I already have this week, and I just may have put myself in the, you know, in front of a bullet there. But I don't care. This show is always about truth, and I want to hear the truth from you too. So, with that in mind, let's go to the phones and let's talk to Mike in San Jose, California. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Guy. Bush Eats Beef from Democratic Underground.
Hey,
how you doing?
Good to hear from you, my friend.
Hey, listen, like I told Ron, I'm not one of the people who sent you an email this week, okay?
All right, I know.
I'm still in your corner. So the thing I wanted to call about, I was thinking while you were talking about this, is I understand the way that you're reacting to this because this is your show and this is something you take very seriously, but my point that I wanted to make is this is very systematic of what we do as Democrats, and it's very unfortunate. I don't know what your participation level on Democratic Underground was during the election, but when this Swift Boat Veterans thing happened, it killed me. I thought it was the worst thing I'd ever seen, and that and the Purple Heart Band-Aids and all that other garbage that came out of Karl Rove's backside. And I posted stuff on Democratic Underground, and so did other people, saying, when is Kerry going to stand up to this? When is he going to do something? Well, a lot of people at the time responded with, shut the F up. He knows what he's doing. What makes you an expert? Let him do what he's going to do. He's in control. And a month later, we're asking the same question. So part of the problem with our party, and this has been said on Democratic Underground many times, is that we are a party that tends to eat our own. And we talk about, you know, free speech and welcoming dissent and welcoming ideas, and we need this and we need that. And the first thing that someone challenges the status quo and stands up and says what they really think, they get smacked down.
I agree wholeheartedly. I've seen it, and my participation on the Democratic Underground website during election time was extensive, I guarantee you. And I saw this infighting, these circular firing squads going on.
Yeah, and it's a shame. And I mean, the thing is, anybody who knows me and has read my posts knows that I love Democratic Underground and that I'm a regular there and I post like daily. So I'm not saying this to call up and criticize the website. And one of the things is, when you sign up for an account on there and you read the rules and regulations, one of the first things it says on there is, if you don't like it, you're free to leave. And Skinner, the other day, replied to somebody in a thread, and that's exactly what he told them. The person said, I've had it here. I'm leaving. I don't like the way this is done, that's done, or whatever. And Skinner was like the second person in the thread to reply, and he said, I invite you to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, we got to stop inviting people to leave when they say something we don't like. I mean, on Democratic Underground, there are a lot of ideas, and some things get a free pass. I mean, if you talk about the, Christian threads and Christian bashing, no one ever really steps in and has a sense of outrage over that. It's all free speech, and if that's your opinion or whatever. But you bring up something that maybe someone's a little more sensitive to, and God forbid it's a flame war, and the mods come in and shut the thread down.
Yeah,
we got to start acting like adults, Guy.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And let's explain to some of our local listeners here. We're talking about a fabulous website called Democratic Underground, and you're I know you'll agree with me. There are people from all stripes on there, far, far, far way out to Pluto left, right up to centrist, and even some lurkers that come in from a Republican territory. There's something of everybody there, and the infighting is amazing. It really is.
Yeah, guys, final thing I'll say, because I know you want to take some other calls, but listen, I posted something in your thread today. My only advice or feedback for you is do what the hell you want to do, man. You got the brains, you got the talent, and you got the heart. You know, you're not an Air America guy. You're not Hannity. You're not Limbaugh. You're Guy James, and you're pretty damn good, and don't change it. You know, Cheney them if they can't take a joke.
Yeah, okay? That's right.
All right, take care, guys.
Hey, thank you so much for calling, Mike. It's great
Bye.
To hear from you. We did receive we saw a nice, just printed that out, as a matter of fact. Lila's over there reading it right now. It was a good post by him, I must say. Let's go to, where are we going? We're going to go to Peter in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing today?
Great.
Guy, I was
feeling a little feisty tonight, I must tell you.
Support for your show, and I'll tell you what, I completely agree with you. We need to focus on the Bush Rove issue. The analogy that I have is that if Roberts is a demon, then the combination of Bush and Rove form the devil himself, and we may have to rally our wagons around it and support each other in focusing on the big issue here, because to do something about the Bush Rove combination in the White House is far more important than any separate issues. I'll tell you, I'm a gay man, and I'm also an AIDS patient. I'm on disability income, and I've never offered any support to your show because I am on a limited income. But I'll tell you what, after hearing what you had to say, God, as much as I enjoy your show, I'm going to begin supporting you beginning the 3rd of this coming month. Just a few days, my check comes in on the 3rd. I'm going to start sending you a monthly payment to help out with the show. And I encourage anyone else, regardless of what your income is, I'll tell you, I don't have the extra money to do it, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that will fill in any loss of income that these people who have to have their own way all the time. We have to band together. There's so many of the gay people that, and which I'm one, want to focus strictly on gay marriage and gay rights. But you know, this whole thing is much bigger than that. It's much bigger than gay rights. It's much bigger than gay marriage. It's much bigger than the right to choose issue. We have a huge battle on our hands. We must pull together, and this bickering within our group has got to go. It's something that the Republicans don't do. They are on the same page, and we damn sure have to get there.
And they count on us doing it, don't they, Peter?
They do. They absolutely do. And in these small groups that splinter off within our the Democratic Party, we're just a bunch of selfish bickering. In any case, Guy, I love your show. I'm going to begin supporting you, and you keep up the good work.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
I've said for a long time, we started this program some 2.5 years ago, and I didn't mean to put the whole focus on this program tonight. I want to talk about Democratic radio in general, but if we focus on this, that's okay. We take it where you want to take it. That's a good talk show. Take it the direction where you want to go. But, the day we came on the air, they started threatening us. The local Republicans, they picketed us at a place we went to talk one evening, gave a speech, and it's been threatening and intimidation ever since. But I have said from day one that if this show loses support and goes off the air, it will not be because of anything Republicans have done. They've cost us sponsors. They've threatened sponsors. They've threatened me. They've threatened my life. They've threatened my family, my home. They've done it all. But they would never, ever cause this show to go off the air. If this show goes off the air, let me tell you exactly why it's going to go off the air. It'll be because of lack of support from people on the left. That's why. And if, like I said, if you just hate the show and if it's just not what you want, call us up and say so. Let us know what it is you really do want. We want to meet your needs as long as we're true to ourselves. We will never change being true to ourselves. I could have been phony last week and not upset all these folks that called in and canceled subscriptions over that one issue. I could have said, yes, let's do it. But that's not what I was thinking. And I can't do that. That can't be me. I can't do it. If I'm not honest with you, I'm nobody. And if I'm not true to myself, I don't want to be doing this show. We have so much to talk about tonight. We really do. Let me see. Where are we going to go here? We're going to go to Diana in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diana.
Yeah, Guy. If people are ignorant, I mean, you can't change that. We know who you are. I've listened to you since you started the program here on the radio, and I know who you are. There's no bones. Every week, you're the same guy, James. I don't hear you swaying, lying, doing U-turns. You hold your line, and I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I've voted both. And I'm telling you right now, the only problem, and I do love the show, and the only reason I love your show is because you do let people talk. You will have a conversation and even debate as long as people stay within their, lines of not being rowdy or whatever.
Sure.
But I think you're fair. The only problem that I have with all talk radio is I feel like there's no forum out here on solid ground to those of us who are sitting here as an independent, not looking and towing party lines, but looking at things like the World Trade Center towers and the evidence around it, the elections, the black box voting. There's a lot of things that make me feel that there is no Democrat, there is no Republican parties, that it's all skull and bones and Illuminati, and it's being run by organized crime. And I feel that people aren't opening their eyes to question the government. That is the main thing that I've got about it all. And I'm paranoid on it. I don't trust this government. All I see is a lot of people making a lot of money on he says, she says, without us, we the people, getting a shred of evidence presented to us on anything other than we hear it on the radio or TV news. But I've not seen any evidence whatsoever to anything, even on terrorism.
Well, it's hard to, you know, Diane, it's hard to come by the truth in the media nowadays.
But until this happens, America, I'm telling you, everyone's going to toe the Republican line because they're believing the lies, and we have been bamboozled. We have skull and bones, a skull and bones by accident. They're pirates, and I'll tell you, they have been pirating the money in. Why do you think Al Gore and John Kerry, neither one, protested against the results on the votes? Didn't know, because the reason why, they're one for all and all for one, and they're one and the same, and they all have the same goal, and they're playing a shell game with you. They're making you think that there's two sides opposing each other, and I'm telling you, they're good at it. And we're not having real elections in this country, and we're not having real representation for the mainstream America.
Well, you're right,
it's
Diana.
All for the elitist.
That's exactly right, the elitist. And
that's my only problem. And you know what? You will be getting a check from me this week. And I'm sorry I missed it last week. Forgive me, but I had to pay bills. I, too, am on Social Security disability. I'm terminally ill. I don't get that much money a month, but I tell you, God, James, you've got it, baby.
Thank you, Diana.
Yes, God bless you, hon.
Good to hear from you. What do I say after that? Hey, it's coming up to the bottom of the hour, and my producer's giving me the evil eye. He's saying, you know, it's coming up to the bottom of the hour, and if you don't take a break, I'm going to break your arm or something. I mean, it's the way he's looking at me. It really is. And when Johnny says he means business. So we are going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. And listen, we've got a lot to talk about tonight, and I hope you'll stay with us. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Guy James Show. Southwest. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service? Well, this is it. Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at GuyJames at theguyjamesshow.com. We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good.
From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe because I'd never be alone. We do live here, shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Of hurt and pain can make us too appealing. I hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family, have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy, finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings to listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just that.
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. Well, he'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that.
Just the two of us. Just the two of us.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show.
WNOG.
The Guy James Show. The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500. 7501-0203 and 04 right now and chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
All right. Yes, good to have you back with us. Well, we got a fast-moving show tonight. We got a lot to talk about. I hope you'll call us. I know there's enough dissension on Democratic Underground alone to keep the phones hopping all night long on this issue. So do call. You know, think about this for a minute. We've got a lot of battles in this political war going on right now, and you know, certain ones. We all have our pet project. We do. I do. You do. Everybody does. But you got to keep your eye on the big prize. And you know, I told somebody this past week, and I'm not kidding. If we continue to lose these wars, if we continue to lose these major elections in the White House and the House and the Senate, we're going to have a Supreme Court that's 9-0. That's what we'll end up with. And if that's what you want, fine. You go ahead and fight every one that comes up, and then you know how they propagandize everything. And we're not going to win all the issues, but if we don't win the White House back, if we don't win the House, the Senate back, you can complain till the cows come home about the nominees for the Supreme Court, and it's going to do you a bit of good, not a bit of good. And before I get back to the phones, I want you to think about this. I did some thinking this week that Johnny's looking at me when I said I did some thinking this week, like I had some sort of an epiphany, and it's something new for me. Johnny, I have thought about things before a couple of times. I will have you know, once back in the 70s and again at the beginning of the Bush administration. So anyway, we have a lot of fun here in the studio, we really do. But think about the consequences of this. If we don't pull together as a group, as a party, if we don't pull together and get some kind of a cohesive force going against this runaway train that is the right wing right now, we're going to have problems. And I wonder if you've ever sat down and thought about what would happen if they go ahead and have their way with this election after election. What would happen? You know, I shudder to think what this country would be like if we relinquished total control of this country to this gang of neocons that are currently in power. Imagine the consequences of them having a free reign to do anything their warped minds desire. Think about it for a minute. We'd have Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson on the Supreme Court, along with Anton Scalia and Clarence Thomas and Bill Rehnquist and James Dobson and Victoria Tunsing and Phyllis Schlafly and Orrin Hatch. It'd be a 9-0 vote on everything, and they'd rule us right back to the Stone Age. And in the House, we'd still have Tom DeLay. Of course, they wouldn't get rid of him. They'd never get rid of Mr. Morality himself. And he'd still be the majority leader in the Senate. We'd have Rick Santorum, oh my God, ascending to the throne. You know, that guy's nuts. I'm sorry to all you Pennsylvanians, but Rick Santorum is an out-and-out lunatic. And, don't get me started on him. But he'd be the Senate Majority Leader, because they'd get rid of Frist in a minute. He's not radical enough. And Falwell could come over to the Supreme Court from the Supreme Court every day and have an altar call right on the Senate floor. And Dobson and Roberts could lead a revival every Wednesday night in the House chamber. That's what we'd be facing. And instead of the congressmen carrying around the copies of the Constitution, they'd walk around toting big Bibles. I mean, big Bibles, because everyone knows the bigger Bible you got, the more religious you are, you know? And we'd have the contractors take all the words of our former presidents, from the Lincoln and the Jefferson and the Washington Memorial, and replace them with neon signs flashing with the most popular New Testament verses. Right downtown Washington, there'd be huge loudspeakers all over Washington, D.C., playing Bringing in the Sheaves 24 hours a day. And that is, of course, if the neocons didn't move the nation's capital to another site, and I really think they might do it. You know, really. think about moving the nation's capital. They'd do it. I think they'd move the site of the nation's capital someplace like Vicksburg, Mississippi, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Huh? You know, someplace more in tune with the neocon philosophy, if you know what I mean. And let's not forget the EPA. The EPA would be closed down immediately, and every American would be issued a gas mask because we need them to be able to breathe the air. Big business would once again fill the skies with thick orange and black smoke, and the acid rain would eat away everything it falls on. You wouldn't dare leave your car outside. Streams and rivers would be nothing more than sludge conduits for many of the factories and chemical plants on their banks. And of course, the numbers of places like the Love Canal up around Buffalo would increase at a tremendous rate, and cancer and leukemia would affect everyone who couldn't afford to move away from the polluted air and the water. Because this is all if we had total Republican control. And, of course, the elderly would die off at a much faster rate because if left to their own devices, the neocons would cut every federal program to the bone, including Medicare and prescription drug assistance. Social Security would become a thing of the past, and the elderly would either just die and get it over with or eat dog food if they could afford that. And, after all, no use spending our hard-earned dollars on people are going to die anyway, of course. And yes, it would be just great if the neocons had unbridled power. It would mean every man for himself, survival of the fittest and all that. No more of this community and society, but oh no, it's the individual that matters. To hell with everyone else. The old I'll get mine and to hell with everyone else attitude would just flourish, and the strong would starve the weak, and those with disabilities who need the help of their fellow man would just have to find a way to cope, wouldn't they? And after all, they don't really need those wheelchairs and medical supplies provided by the government programs. Let them stay home and out of sight so the rest of us don't have to feel guilty. That is, if the neocons in power today even understand what guilt is, and I don't think they do. And, of course, if the Bush neocons had their way, the draft would be instituted in a New York minute. They'd have the draft back right away. We'd have to get millions of more troops to replace the ones killed and maimed in the conflicts we'd be involved in all around the world. And just imagine how many more troops we'd have to have. If we invaded Iran and Syria and North Korea and Venezuela, and you know damn well they want to. If they had unbridled power, they'd be in some of those nations tonight. But no matter. Because there's plenty of poor kids out there who wouldn't be able to afford to go to college, so they could be drafted into the military. College, after all, is for the rich. And the poor kids might as well get in the military because there's no decent jobs available for them anyway. And if the Bush neocons had full power, you'd better be a Christian, baby, because there'd be no room for anyone else that didn't pray to Jesus. No room whatsoever. Requirements would probably include attending church on Sunday and at least one service during the week. And there'd be no slacking allowed. Bible verses would be taught in the public schools, and creationism would flourish. No other views would be tolerated. Absolutely not. And if you didn't agree with the Christian government school programs, you'd be sent to some heathen country like France. And if you happen to be gay, oh boy, if you happen to be gay, you'd better keep your mouth shut about it. Gays wouldn't be tolerated. They'd be arrested, and they'd be thrown into kind of an internment camp by the government Christian militia, where they could be reprogrammed to be straight, because everyone knows being gay is a choice, right? Minimum wage? Ha! Don't make me laugh. The minimum wage would be abolished so fast it'd make your head swim. You'd work for whatever your boss tells you you'd get, and you'd like it. And don't think about joining any union either, because unions would be hereby abolished, if they're not already almost. No more of this collective bargaining crap. You take what you're given and you be grateful. After all, you don't need anything more than a roof over your head and the minimum nutritional needs anyway to work for the master. I could go on for hours about how this nation would be if the Bush neocons had unlimited power, but I think by now you get the message. These people are dangerous to our way of life because our way of life is not their way of life. To them, the rich need to get richer, and the poor should be poorer, and there should be no class of people in between the two, and I'm literally amazed when they talk about the elite from the left because they see nothing but pandering to the elite who pay them to get into office. Tax cuts, feeding the ever-hungry military-industrial complex owned by their fat cat friends. It's all for the rich and against the poor. None of it is about patriotism. None of it is about serving humanity. None of it is about loving their neighbor and doing unto others. It's all about me, 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 me. You better hope to God that things change and America wakes up and sees it's in the clutches of a group who will absolutely lead us to ruin as a nation. They already got a good start on the ruination of this country. The question is, will America be able to stop them in time? And the reason I tell you all this is because infighting among Democrats and not keeping their eye on the big prize is going to lead our party to ruin, and it's going to put them in power from now and to evermore. And that's got to stop. If you want a one-party government, you just keep this infighting up in the Democratic Party and see what happens. Because it will be one party. Because they do march to the in lockstep. And we don't. And we better find a way to find some unity amongst ourselves, or we're going to be dead as a party. Let's go to the phones. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Got Dave in Northern California. Hi, Dave.
Dave in Northern California, and I do love you, and I do love your program, and I think what you've been just saying over the last 10 or 15 minutes there, I agree with every word of it. I think you took a little bit of a hard line on a couple of debatable issues, and I'd like to try to bring back whoever you got alienated on this, because I think we have got such an unethical, such a corrupt, such a destructive, dangerous White House crew right now that every week some whole new thing is happening. I mean, we can't really deal with the fact that we are involved in illegal criminal wars because we've got the Tom DeLay's ethics problems pushing that off, and we can't really deal with that because we got an appointment of a John Bolton. We can't really deal with that. You know, it's just one thing after another every week, right? So I feel as much as possible we need to expose it all as best we can. So you make perfectly good sense to say we can't fight up front on every front. We're going to have to choose our targets, and certainly this Traitorgate Karl Rove thing is prime target number one. You got the press on your side pretty much going after that one. So don't let that drop, not over anything. But, for myself, I try on any blog I can get in on, any letter to the editor, I'm trying to fight them on every front that I possibly can because they're just that terrible, you know. And I also see the case of you can't fight everywhere, so take the ones that you can and go after them. There's one other thing, though, that I am finding. You're very good at what you do. I think you come as a serious threat, and they're blocking you. Like last week, I had the manager of our local wonderful little progressive radio station up here in Eureka agree to tune in, and so they shut you streaming down. Am I still with you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
But I would say this, that there is a definite market for progressive thinking talk radio. Stephanie Miller is adding two or three towns a week. I'd say Tom Hartman adds two or three stations every month, and he's running directly up against Air America and Al Franken.
Well, if I can throw my two cents worth in, Tom Hartman's a friend of mine, and Tom Hartman is absolutely terrific.
He's brilliant. He is a guy, James.
Brilliant.
A little more of a gentleman.
Brilliant is the word.
You're willing to take the bug out and stomp on it, and he tends to be more polite most of the time.
Yeah, he is.
But he is definitely becoming more and more aware of how really, truly criminal, psychopathic our White House is right now. He's always wanted to try to feel like they're incompetent boobs who bumble into things, but now I think he sees premeditated, vicious plans that they got us into the war deliberately, plotting it. Downing Street proves it. We can't really deal with that because we got to deal with this. We can't really, it's just so much of them, they are dreadfully unethical. But I think we need to find a way for you and other programs to be able to expand into other markets. I mean, those of us that know how to use an internet can go track you down. You get a lot of California listeners, I know. But
yeah, California is good for us. California's always been there for us, and I like that. It's got something to do with the time, I think.
Well, I'm going to try, because I'd love to see if you could be simultaneously in Eureka and in Fort Myers, Florida. That would be a start, because we got a wonderful, the manager of this station here is great. He's your kind of guy.
Oh, good.
Anyway, I think there's definitely a market for it. We got another problem, and that is, reality is that we've got some lousy Democrats. You know, I got a congressman here that'll vote with the Republicans. His office is not. He has his hand out to every special interest that'll pay him. And I think, I don't want to get behind this man. I know they're going to run a Republican that's even worse than him, and a Green can't win, but, I wish, there's some wonderful, wonderful Democratic congressmen and senators out there, some excellent ones, but some of them just are so damn weak doing.
Oh, yeah. And you know what about the 15 of them that defected over to vote for Captain?
Oh. You forgive them for that.
Oh, you don't. You don't. You got to work. You know, who was it that said it? I think it was Adlai Stevenson maybe that said it. If given the choice between a Republican and a Democrat that acts like a Republican, they'll vote for the Republican every time. And if you're going to be a Republican in Congress, and if you're going to vote for every fat cat corporate bill that comes along like CAPTA, you go ahead and switch. We don't need you. We don't want you.
Yeah. Our congressman just voted for the bankruptcy bill. He just did oppose the... took him on the Patriot Act, which was nice. You know, two things just happened here in California that are real good. Our new Secretary of State has just outlawed the Diebold voting machines. That just happened yesterday. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's major progress.
At least
here.
One Secretary of State had some sense around the country.
Well, you know, I had not expected it because he came in with a governor who is... right in the neocon thing there.
And your governor, man, has anybody had a steeper slide in popularity than your new governor?
Well, he works at being useless.
Oh, man.
But the other thing was the federal court ruled that parts of the Patriot Act, as she saw it, were not valid, understandable, or justified. And she ruled that in the case of suit that was before her that she was disallowing all that. I don't know what will become of that. It'll be appealed, I'm sure. But those were two good things that happened yesterday.
Hey, Dave, got to move. Thank you for your call.
Brother.
And say hello to everybody in Northern California for me.
Will do.
Yeah, bye now. Lots of different views. Lots of different views in this Democratic Party right now. And there's going to be... You just wait until the general election comes around again. Oh, man. I wonder how many candidates we'll have this time. We had 10 the last time. We had 15, 20, or we'll be all boiled down to 2 or 3 by that time. And then we'll have a royal war over that. I mean, you know, expect some of that during primaries. But the pubbies got it easy. They always just settle real quick, and Democrats, even after the primaries are over, still fighting. The dust is still clearing when the primary's over for us. There's still people out there saying, we'd have had Kucinich, or yeah, if we'd have had Edwards, or yeah, if we'd have had this guy, that guy, you know, well, it didn't work out that way, did it? We had Kerry, and we didn't get him elected. Of course, he had a lot to do with that. Yes, he certainly did. I thought the fight in that dog wasn't good enough. If what is the old saying, you know, don't get off the porch if you don't want to run with the big dogs. I don't think John ever got off the porch. There was a time to come out swinging, baby, and he didn't. He didn't do a very good job of it. He was the eternal gentleman throughout that whole thing, and I just thought, hey, if anybody would have attacked my wife the way they attacked his wife, there'd be hell to pay. I guarantee you that. And what did he do? Nothing. He needed some fire in his belly, and that's exactly what he needed, and he just didn't have it. I'm sorry. I like John Kerry. I love John Kerry. I think John Kerry's a great man. I think he's a very fine senator, and I think his wife is aces all the way. A little bit eccentric, perhaps, but, man, she took a beating in that thing. Well, don't get me started on that. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, you're talking about your show, whether people should support it or listen to it. I want to have you keep the show and drop the rest of your so-called talk station that you're on, because I can't listen to anything else except you on Saturday on this station.
Well, I'll join you in that quest. I most certainly will.
I mean, the rest of the stuff that's on the station is unlistenable. Talk radio to me, Guy, should not be, and maybe this is where you and I will differ. I don't think it should be all liberal or all right-wing. To me, I want dialogue. I want a good talk radio show, and this is what I'm complaining about that is not doctrinaire. I like it when you get people from the other side and there's discussion. You know, and I'm not so concerned about always the host's views, but also the other people who call in their views. So you get a dialogue going. And we don't have enough of it going on. Talk radio as a vehicle to me has died in this country, and that's a good part of the problem.
Well, I think you're right. And of course, John, one thing a lot of people forget, unless we want to be an NPR type show, and I'm not criticizing NPR, I love NPR, I listen to NPR quite a bit. I think there has to be a little entertainment involved in a program to keep the general interest, or otherwise we get too narrowed in what we're doing.
And absolutely. And I think there are other issues that you haven't even brought up. I'm kind of concerned about what's happening with Mr. Bolton, the fact that he may be representing us at the United Nations. And nobody's talking about
him. Well, we're going to talk about him in a little while. My God, this guy is a pariah. This guy's got a story behind him. I mean, it's too good to be true. And it looks like he will be, come hell or high water, no matter what, with probably a recess appointment.
It's scary to me.
Yeah, it is to me, too. But these guys, John, they don't care anymore. It's in your face. We don't care what you think.
And then there's the fact on the stem cell research. I find it awfully interesting that Mr. Frist has jumped ship, so to speak. You know, maybe there's some chinks in the armor of this neocon revolution that are taking place. The extremes are not working. And then, of course, you know, we seem to be forgetting that we have a war in Iraq where we lost 11 more soldiers this week, according to our local newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's so many issues out there. This country, it seems to me, is not doing well. And, of course, we have on the economic side the rising price of gas, which affects us in everything that we do. I mean, the quality of life in this country, as I talk to people and move around, the quality of life is deteriorating. And this is what we have to look at. Yes, I think the abortion issue is important. I have my views on it, but it's certainly not the only issue there. Would I not support you because you happen to have a different view? No, because that's what talk radio is all about. If I had to agree with you on every issue that's out there, that's dangerous.
And it's impossible.
And to me, that's not what I want to look for in talk radio. The question is, A, as you said, are you entertaining? B, do you provide a forum for those who disagree with you, which you do, at least I think you do.
Sure.
And do I have to agree with you? Do I jump ship because you say A and I believe in B? Well, if that's what we want, then that's what we have in the Republican Party today, and I certainly don't agree with that either.
Well, you know, John, the tough part about it is I get tons and tons and tons of mail every week from right-wingers that listen to the program, and yet most of them are afraid to call in. You know, they call in, they write you letters and say you're a lousy liar and all that, but yet they never confront you with it, and I think that's cowardice for one thing, and, you know, I wish they would call in.
That's because talk radio as a medium, as I said before, has become dying. We have forgotten that the radio and talk radio should be there to be a town meeting of the air where we can discuss issues. It should not be, and this is my problem with Air America, it should not be all liberal radio. It should not be what's on this station of all conservative radio. It should be a dialogue where people of all stripes can call in, we have discussions, and somehow that's where you get a middle point of view and people refine their views. And that's not what's taking place in this country or on our radio. And that's why, by the way, that's why I think AM radio is a dying industry. You know, people are turning away from it and going to the satellite radio. Why? Because they're not offering a product that people want.
Well, that's one of the things we want to talk about tonight. We want to know, and you've got your 2 cents worth in, and I knew you would, John, and I thank you for letting us know what you expect and what you want from talk radio. Thanks very much for your call.
And stay there, because we do need you.
Well, thanks. We're going to try that. I know that there are radio consultants all over this country. I keep myself versed in what's going on in talk radio. I get Talkers Magazine and, you know, lots of blogs and all what's going on in the radio. And it's a shame what's happening right now. There are all these consultants around the country that, well, let's say they're conservative. And they're getting themselves hired by radio stations and convincing them that they must have all right-wing talk all the time. And I think, you know, they don't want to offend the right-wing listeners. Wouldn't it be better to upset them a little bit? You know, I don't know how many of you studied music, but I studied fine arts. And back in the old days, and back in the 1700s, a Beethoven, a Brahms, a Sibelius, anybody, they'd have concerts on Sunday afternoon in their hometown. If you lived in Vienna, Austria, and you know, they were there having a concert, they would have, you know, your nice classical music playing and be nice and go along, and all of a sudden, bam, right between the eyes, there'd be a crescendo, and that was to wake everybody up. Don't you think we need that in radio as well? Don't you think to put a thorn amongst all these roses, me, for example, put me right smack in the middle of a couple of right-wing radical talk show hosts and see what would happen? Oh, man, it burned the place down. I mean, I think that's what we need. I think we need some variety. And you talk about boring. If you want to listen to all right-wing all day, every day, you are boring. And you are boring your audience if you're doing that as well. But I can't seem to convey that to anybody else. I don't know why. I don't know why. But that's how it is, and we're living with it right now. But we're just hoping someday that, and you know, as far as the Democratic Party helping out in that, zip, nada, nothing, no way, no how. They don't even know the problem exists. They really don't. And boy, they hate it when I say that, but they don't. The Democratic Party has done nothing meaningful to help out the media wars and help level the playing field in talk radio and on the media. They've done nothing. You know, as they always say, money, you know, money talks and BS walks, and they've done nothing. Zip. And they don't care. And I've talked to them, and I can tell you, they don't care. They really don't. Hey, listen, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We haven't scratched the surface yet. You're listening to the Guy James Show, Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270, Naples, Fort Myers, Florida. And we're going to pause for a break, and you better be there when we get back.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at GuyJames at theguyjamesshow.com. We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida. 34135.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. You're bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Those hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family, have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, it doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy, finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just,
what, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. But you'll get to see it. Hopefully you'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that, true that.
Just the two of us.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James. The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500. 7501, 02, 03, and 04 right now. And chime in. You're on the Guy James Show.
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, yeah. It was good to have that little break. Had another cup of coffee, you know. Just good to have a little break once an hour. And we're kind of on a little roll tonight. We've had a burr under our saddle all week long about a few things, and it's good to get them off our chest. Hey, before I go any farther, I want to say hello to all my Ohio friends. You know, I'm a former Buckeye, and I'm proud of that, and I still got the old scarlet and gray blood in my veins. I root for those Bucks loud and long every Saturday. But I want you to take particular notice of that Paul Hackett race that's going on. You know, just, what, maybe a month ago, would you say? Maybe 5-6 weeks ago, the Republicans were going, Major Paul Hackett, what chance does he have of getting elected? Well, now he's just about pulled even with his opponent in that congressional race in Ohio, and the Republicans that aren't laughing anymore, are they? Instead, they pumped in $500,000 into his opponent's coffers for ads to buy in West Virginia and Cincinnati. They're worried now, baby. They're worried now, because I'll tell you what, if Major Paul Hackett gets elected, he's going to be a powerful voice. I love this guy, and I think he would be a great congressman for Ohio. And it's not like Ohio doesn't need some different politics, because I hate to say this in my former Buckeye state, but the Bob Taft administration in Ohio has been the most smarmy, filthy political machine since Mayor Daley in Chicago. And I think he puts Mayor Daley to shame. I think I really do. You know, there are more cockroaches coming out into Ohio politics right now is just filthy. It's horrible. Every week there's something major coming out about Noe and the governor. And oh, my God, it's awful. It's awful. If I still lived in Ohio, I'd just be beside myself, and I even am this far away. I think, how could they have sunk this low? How could the citizens of the great state of Ohio, the great industrial state of Ohio that's lost so many jobs? And, you know, this goes farther. This goes farther than just Taft. You know, this Noe clown, and all these, you know, this CoinGate and all that, you know, this money went into the Bush coffers and helped elect him. You know, we lost that state in the last couple of weeks of that election. We lost it because they poured lots of money in it. Lots of it was ill-gotten money. Filthy money. Dirty money. They bought that election, plain and simple, with dirty money. So it goes a little farther than just local politics in Ohio. It went all the way to the top. And this Taft gang in Ohio, my God. Hey, let's talk to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Guy. This is, oddly enough, this is what exactly what I wanted to call in about today. The Democratic message and what can be done about it. And I think we need to bring the message out, and I'll mention how I think we can do that. But you know, we need to bring things out, like, you know, the Democrats, while they were in charge, for the past up to now is mostly in charge. They built this country. They have, developed this country into what it is today. These people now, for the past 5 years, they are destroying it. They're giving it to the wealthy. And we need to bring that message out, or else we're definitely gonna lose. Everybody in America is gonna lose big. And, when we're a third world country, when we just have the rich and the poor, it's gonna be too late. So we definitely need to get the communications, all of the communications, regardless. With people like Tom the Cockroach Delay, Bolton, Karl Rove, Bush, you know, Liar Bush, and you know, all of the things that are going on, and we can really now get people outraged and become Democrats and really support this, and they're 24/7 supporting this idiot. It's outrageous. I think that, you know, I was reading the paper, that local paper here, and there's a Spanish station that is going to, or there's a Spanish group, a Spanish church that's going to buy a radio station for $1 million. I think we can get some local Democrats to come up with $1 million, buy our own station, and we can give it to them 24/7. Because if you're not in the middle of the day, I think that that fellow on Radio America that you mentioned, he's doing good, because that's a good hour. I think whoever they put there is going to do good. And half of America at least is Democrat, and you know, so we have the listeners there, but we have to give it to them like Democrats would, not like a half wet Democrats, you know, or a Republican light, like many people call them.
Hey Juan, if you're on at prime time, you can get good ratings if you're awake.
Right, because this fellow that's there, I listened to him, the comedian, and he's a monotone voice, so anybody can get those ratings. It's because of the hour. There's better. The fellow in the morning has Springer. He's a better. I think he has a better show than Al Franken in the afternoon. So I think, you know, that we need to get this people and name them, bring out the facts. You know, I think that the Republicans don't call in because they are brainwashed into believing certain things as facts, and they're not facts. And then when they come on your show, they cannot defend them. They look like fools. And so you know, like, for example, the trickle-down economics. That's incredible that Russia is still saying that trickle-down economic works when we know it doesn't work. And we pointed out him as a liar. We can start the show by saying these are the Republican lies of the day, and put out the facts. And so we can go to town with those guys. They depend on controlling the airways, so they're not challenged. That's why they're winning, not because they're right.
That's right. That's the.
You know, if anybody out there wants to, you know, get together about, you know, getting a radio station, if we can get a radio station and we're 24/7, we tell the truth, and we get some people there that's not afraid to really call these people name the way they're calling us name, we got the truth on our side. We can beat them like we've done for the first, you know, for the last 50 years.
Well, the truth, you know, if the truth gets told, if it gets promoted, the truth will win out. The problem is getting it told, that's for sure.
That's why they're keeping us out of the station, you know, out of the air. We've got to get our own radio station, and so they don't put us on the weekend late at night or when there's nobody listening. No wonder people don't want to listen to us, because they don't know what we stand anymore for.
Well, the big problem is there's no space left in this market. There really isn't. And, you know, somebody would have, some station would have to flip. Some station would have to flip over.
But this radio station, the FM, going for $1 million to a to a Christian religious group, wouldn't something like that work?
Well, yeah, probably so. I don't have $1 million.
Yeah, but you get 20 people.
But see, I know, Juan, that you know all kinds of people that have that kind of money. So you have to round them up and we'll talk. Hey, Juan, thank you for your call.
Can I say one more?
Yes, you certainly can.
Fritz finally got a badly needed enameloplasty.
What?
He got a Fritz.
Yeah.
He finally got a badly needed enameloplasty.
Confirmed
for it.
You're roping me into this, aren't you?
No.
You know I don't know what that term means, don't you?
He finally got his penis repaired.
I see. Okay, I got you. Thanks for your call.
All right.
See, Juan's a doctor, and he knows all those medical terms. He can snow me anytime he wants to. You know what happened on this stem cell research thing? Chris is a doctor, and although I don't agree with a lot of things he said, I thought he made a total ass of himself back during the, all of a sudden I can't remember the poor girl's name.
Schiavo.
Terry Schiavo case. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. The Terry Schiavo case. Fritz made an ass of himself during that. And here he is, his doctor, and he makes a prognosis, a diagnosis from 1,000 miles away. Well, I saw her on TV, you know, it looked to me like she had fully, had life in her and that she could come back. I think she can be rehabilitated. That's Frist actually did that, which I thought, whoa, boy, that's not good. And if you remember, we had this parody we played on the show about, Bill Frist being a quack. But anyway, he is a doctor. And you got to think that since he is a doctor, he's got more brains than the fellow in the White House. I don't think there's any question that Elmer Fudd has more brains than the guy that sits in the Oval Office. There's no question about that. But the Frist has to have more brains than Elmer or George Bush and Karl Rove and all those people put together. And he understands these medical things at least. He says that the stem cell research is a good idea, and he broke with Bush on it. Well, he did. And it showed somebody in that group has some intelligence, and at least knows what's going on. I've heard some pretty wacky things over the stem cell research thing. They're really, really wacky. Let's go to Bill in Toledo, Ohio. Hi, Bill.
Good evening, Guy.
Hi.
About as mad as I can be tonight. I told you what I said last week, and I'm going to make this as quick as I possibly can. I said kudos to what you said, because that guy is going to go through. Bush, if anybody's listening, tell me anything that this guy has not got that has gone through. Mention one thing.
Nothing. The Democrats said they were going to pick their fights. I'm waiting for the fight. I'm waiting.
Has he pocket vetoed one bill?
Nope.
Has not one bill that has come to that president's desk, to Bush's desk, has one bill not been signed?
Nope. He's,
You know what this reminds me of is maybe some of the people that you can understand that said, they're going to take away my guns, and by God, even though it's in their worst interest, they'll vote for that because, by God, they did not take my gun from me.
That's right.
And
it
sounded like to me tonight. And I got one last comment to you, Guy. Is I got an email from you, and it said, I thank you for your subscription to the thing, because my PayPal, they told me when I wanted to take put my checking account on PayPal, because my wife is using it on an opposite account, they said you have to open up a brand new account.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that was a subscription that was canceled of me last week. But I want to tell you something. I'm a silver membership. I've been disability. I know that I could get Sirius Satellite for, I think, $9 or $10 or $11, whatever it is, a month. I could get that in my automobile. But I don't need it because I'm on disability and I don't get out too much. But I can tell you something, and right now I'm going to hang up. My check, as they say, is in the mail, And for some of those people who quit, my wife asked me for glasses, whether we can afford them for her because they're getting ready to go out. And she said, otherwise, I'm not going to be able to drive. And I said, well, how much are they? And she said, well, they're about $250. And I said, I'll get it for you, honey. I'll still get her glasses. But in that check, I'm putting that in the mail Monday. You will receive it. I started my subscription on the 4th. There'll be another $100 in there. Good evening, Guy.
Bill, thank you very much. And we want Bill to get those glasses because I got relatives that may drive through Toledo. I want to stop just for a minute. You don't mind if I do something personal here, do you? Does anybody mind if I do something personal? My family reunion is being held up in Ohio this weekend, and I'm just pretty sure they're listening tonight. And there's a whole big gang of us, believe me. Big gang of us. My father was out of a group of 14, a family of 14, and there's just one left. Just one left. Not my dad, but my uncle Bud. And I got a suspicion that they've got the old computer speakers on at the reunion tonight. And if they do, I want to say hello to all my dear relatives. I wish I could be there with you. My goodness, do I ever. It's a big group, believe me. Big group. So anyway, just wanted to throw that in there and let you know I love you all and I miss you. I haven't had anybody talk. Of course, I didn't give them a chance to. I didn't give anybody a chance to talk about the energy bill this week or CAFTA or anything. You know, Congressman Ed Markey, whom we had on the show a while back, he was talking about this energy bill. This is like the government picked up the average American, turned upside down, and shaking the money right out of his pockets, and that's what happened to it. And you know, the energy bill was a disgrace. Have you read the energy bill? Now, you know what's going to happen. I'm not an expert on it yet. I've read a lot of it, but not the whole thing. So I don't know if I'd call myself an expert on it, but I know quite a lot about it. The Bush administration is going to make this big deal, and they're going to come out, and they're masters of this. Don't get me wrong. They're the best there's ever been. They're going to come out and say, see, our president finally signed an energy bill. Yes, he's looking out for the American public because he signed an energy bill. I want somebody to tell me what that energy bill did for you. What did that energy bill do for you? In the year 2020, it is estimated that 85% of our oil usage in this country will be export or import. 85% of it in the year 2020. That's only 15 years away, folks. And we'll be depending upon foreign sources for 85% of our oil. I want to know, what did this energy bill do for Joe and Sally Citizen out there? I'll tell you what, nothing. It increased daylight saving time 3 weeks. Oh, big whoopee on that one. We got the daylight savings for three. Boy, that's going to say, oh, man. Did they say anything to Detroit? Did they say anything to Detroit about maybe increasing mileage on these cars, which they can do? You know, 15, maybe 20 years ago, General Motors had a car out in the market that got 51, 52 miles to the gallon. They did. I forget what it was called. It was a little three-cylinder car, and it got 51, 52 miles to the gallon. Honda had a car out that got 51. Not a hybrid, a regular gasoline car. You seen any of those lately? No, you haven't seen any of those lately. Not at all. Because the government is doing nothing to make General Motors or Ford Motors or Chrysler or anybody else increase mileage on these cars. Did they do that in this energy bill? No. Did they do anything about the price of gasoline in this bill, heating oil, anything else? No. This bill is crap. That's all I can say for it. It's a load of crap. It was a, for all the Republicans that don't like welfare, this was welfare for the people who needed the least. Here we have, who was it, Exxon, coming out this past week or so, saying they're in the first quarter or second quarter of this year, they made $24 billion, and we're giving them corporate welfare? Will somebody please restore some sanity in the halls of Congress? But you know the case, you know the story there. You know the story there. These people in Washington have been bought. Plain, simple, cut, dried, that's how it is. Been bought by the corporate people. Hey, here's Mike in Fort Myers. Mike said he knows the name of that car that got...
That was a Geo Metro.
You got it, buddy. That's it. I couldn't think of that. It
came in a couple of different versions, one of which was even turbocharged.
A turbocharged? Was it a three-cylinder?
Yeah, it was a three-cylinder.
That's what I was thinking.
The base horsepower was 58 horsepower. And I think the turbo one had 80 horsepower. That was called a Chevrolet Sprint.
Ah, yes.
And what you're talking about for the Honda was a model of the CRX called a high-efficiency model called HF. And there was another Civic that was out that also got like 51 miles to the gallon. It had a 1.3-liter motor.
Now all these cars are back down into the 20s and 30s, aren't they?
Pretty much so. The only thing with the hybrids, and I know this is not the car show, but the only thing with the hybrids is people don't realize that they cost between $3,000 and $5,000 above the base price of that same equipped vehicle. That's not a hybrid.
Yeah, and I'm seeing there's starting to be a few little problems show up here and there.
Well, there was an ignition problem that was prevalent with the, I believe it was the Toyota car that used to it would cut off without warning.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when the cars are probably 4 to 5 years old, you must replace all those batteries.
Ah.
So.
And what's that going to cost?
Well, it could cost anywhere from $800 to $5,000, depending on the make and the manufacturer.
Ooh, okay.
So what you see is a bargain in the beginning is truly not.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a turbocharged diesel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Mike, I don't think what a lot of people understand, if every car in America could get another 2 miles to the gallon.
Yep.
A huge change, but it did nothing to import.
Well, just for example, this new hybrid version of the GM Silverado, which is one of their big pickups, the Chevy Silverado, mm-hmm. only gets 1 mile to the gallon better on the highway.
Wow.
And it's got, whereas Toyota and Lexus, with their Highlander and their 400H, get something like 33 miles to the gallon in the city and 28 on the highway.
Wow.
And I know they're not as big as a Yukon or one of those big behemoths, but you got to start somewhere.
That's right.
The only trouble with some of these hybrids is they're too damn small in size.
Oh, yeah.
For a family, you know? But anyway, let me ask you this. This energy bill that was passed, did that also include the daylight saving provision, or was that separate from it?
I think it was included in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be moving to Jacksonville, unfortunately. You stream online, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to still listen to you in a couple weeks when I'm up there, and it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Mike, you can't do it. You can't leave us here.
Well, you know what? I got a job, so I got to work.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
There's so few of us here already.
Well, I'll be with you in spirit and physically when I get online, but I never will leave you.
Okay.
You guys are fantastic.
Thanks for calling.
All right, have a great one.
I've told all you listeners out there in Radio Land before that we are in the heart of darkness here. We're outnumbered, oh, God, I don't know, 1,000 to 1, 2,000, well, maybe not quite that much, but it seems like it at times. Oh, it seems like it at times. You walk down the street here, and if you had a sign on your back that said, I'm a Democrat, I don't know. I don't know, Lila. How far down the street do you think you'd make it? One block? Two blocks? It might be tough. People here, a lot of them don't take kindly to Democrats, if you know what I mean. A lot of people in this area don't take kindly to... Well, I'm going to let it go there. I'm just going to let it go there. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, and when we're going to pause for a break in just a couple of minutes, but when we do, we're going to come back and we're going to have Republican love in this next half hour. And I want to warn everybody ahead of time. You heard all about this stuff about Howard Stern having problems with the FCC and stuff. We're going to clean this up as good as we can tonight. We put it through the cleaner a couple of times. Ron's got his finger on the button out there. I don't know. Johnny's got his hands on the electric cord, going to pull the plug on the whole thing here if it gets out of hand. But I'm going to read you some Republican love tonight that, I just think they've outdone themselves this week. I really do. And I just want you to know what... I just want you to know what we really face around here week after week after week. It really is incredible. It really is. And you have to admire anybody. I'm not talking about myself, but you have to admire anybody around here that supports Democratic causes and belongs to the various Democratic clubs and is officers of the Democratic clubs in this area and is open and honest about it. And there are a lot of people who are damn proud to be Democrats and they just out with it. But I'll tell you, they take a lot of grief. And I'm very proud to be a Democrat, and I'm very proud to be a liberal Democrat. Someone wrote me an email last week. One of my Democratic underground folks said, "You're no liberal." Well, I don't know what to say to that. I think I am. I think I've always been liberal. But we are going to talk about some Republican love coming up. Are you ready to go for a break? I think we are. And you are listening to the Guy James Show, and we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to be cranked up with some Republican love when we get back, so you don't want to miss this, believe me.
This is the Guy James Radio Network. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Benner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. You're the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Of hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family, have an evil empire just like his dear old dad, get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy, finish up my war and cover up his lies, be evil and show no feelings to listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. It's just that.
What, George, what are you doing?
Taking my son a little something. But he'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
Have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show.
Your weekend station, Link WNOG.
The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500. 7501, 02, 03, and 04 right now. And chime in. You're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, we're back. Are you back? I hope you are. Because I promised you at the, well, at the end of the last segment that we were going to have some Republican love. And I promised you some particularly interesting Republican love tonight. And so, Ron, if you can get the orchestra going. There they are. You know, we do need to teach them a new song or two, a new piece. Let's get them something by Sibelius. I love Sibelius, and if we could get a good Sibelius piece, I would like something of Great Lone Hill, something like that.
Now it's time for you to pull up a chair, sit back, and enjoy a few moments of Republican love.
You know, that just... it puts me in a mood. It really does. And I've got a fresh cup of coffee here. And let's turn the lights down a little bit. There, reduce that down just a little bit more. Oh, perfect. Right there. Right there. Got my shoes kicked off and sitting back in my chair here a little bit. And I'm going to read you some classic examples of Republican love we got this week. The first one starts out, "Man, you are a real trip. So you weenie libs don't think we should racially profile people in this country? So far, 100% of the terrorists have been of Arab descent, and you don't think we have the right to stop and search them?" This is Chuck from Naples. I don't know how to put this to you, but 100% wouldn't be accurate. You don't forget right-winger Timothy McVeigh. You see, he wasn't an Arab, and he wasn't from the left or anything. He was a very solid right-wing Republican. And we also don't want to forget our good friend Eric Rudolph. You do remember him, do you not? The man that's on death row right now for killing several people, bombing. Okay, all right, so let's not do this 100% thing. So since I brought up those two names, do you think we should stop all right-wingers in the streets and search them too? I'm game if you are. Let's do it. He goes on to say, "We should send those rag-wearing bastards a message and bulldoze every one of their mosques in this country and deport them back to wherever they came from." Chuck, where they came from, you know, a lot of them are from here, Chuck. I don't know if you know that. He goes on to say, and if that doesn't work, perhaps a couple of cruise missiles into the middle of Mecca and the Hajj just might wake them up a little bit. Let them know that if they keep pulling this terrorist crap, we will kill every man, woman, and child who's Muslim and rid the earth once and for all of their filthy breed. But you libs don't have the guts to do it, do you? Well, I do. Chuck of Naples. Thank you, Chuck, for that heartfelt, very compassionate letter. Very, very nice. Next letter in our Republican love. "Sir, you sure are a stupid effer on or high on Quaaludes or something, you naked faggot, communist, cockroach, terrorist, traitor. Everything you say is a lie. You need to shut up before a good God-fearing American punches your clock and knocks your teeth out." Now that one's from Daryl from Cape Coral. I wonder if that's the one that Daryl that had the brother, Daryl. I'm not sure. He might be. He's one of those ones that had to go to the family reunion to get a date, I think. And let's go. Let's see. We got another one. Now, this one is short and sweet. This one says, "Your show not only leans to the left, it falls on its sides from the weight of all the lies." And that's from Earl Whited. You know, Earl, I'm always amused when strangers take the trouble to email an insult like that. I just wonder, what on earth is in your head? Do you imagine that your opinion matters to me at all? They really think so? You suppose I'll burst into tears and my day is going to be ruined since you got because you've taken the trouble to email an insult, Earl? I was tougher than that by the first grade. So, Earl, it doesn't. Let's go on to the next one. This next one is from Frank Banhauser. I'm going to give their name. They sent their name to me, so let's tell people their name. They didn't say not to. "Your little show smells funny. Smells like stupidity by long-haired, unwashed hippies left over from the 60s. Peace and love and marijuana, dudes. Torture doobies, you who add nothing to our society and do all you can to tear the country down. But America is strong, strong enough to support maggots and parasites such as yourself. The nation is at war, but we need comic relief. He spelled that R-E-L-E-E-F, by the way. So continue picking your nose and posting your boogers online. Funny stuff, Frank Benheiser. You know, Frank, we're too young to be authentic hippies, really. I also want to mention, in the years that we've lived in Florida, we haven't yet used any wacky weed like you mentioned. And if you're intelligent enough to discuss politics, please point out something that we've gotten factually or philosophically incorrect on this program. Is that too much to ask? I think it probably is. Let's go on to the next letter. These are really a nice crop this week. You red-ass pigs, you're dumber than mud. Drop your trousers and take some good advice up your... Oh, I can't say that. You're all F-heads, sewer between your ears, and Alzheimer's. He said A-L-T-H-E-I-M, Alzheimer retards. You are the scum Orwell warned. Now, how would this guy know anything about Orwell? Someone must have told him to write this. You're the scum Orwell warned against. The idiots who would give the full civil rights to killers and terrorists, thieves, T-H-E-I-F-S, muggers, that's misspelled too, rapist, and no rights at all to their victims. You should be lined up and shot for the good of the country and the good of the gene pool. You know, the person who explained Orwell's writing to him was either pulling his leg or setting him up, I got to tell you. His insults could have been typed by a bright second grader, I think, albeit the spelling and punctuation would have been better by a second grader. Well, I'm not going to give you his email, but he had a really interesting email and address it, too. Next letter. Why don't you move to Iraq and paint a dot on your stupid forehead? Now, this is how well-informed some of the people are, right, okay? Why don't you move to Iraq and paint a dot on your stupid forehead? Why don't you join the monkey Muslim insurgency, and Muslim and insurgency and monkey are all spelled wrong, and put your principles into action, fight against freedom and democracy, and show your true colors by waving your little Iraqi flags, and maybe slip some dynamite inside your shirt, and blow yourself up for the wonderful spelled wrong noble cause of keeping the barbarians and the women as chattel behind those stupid burqas. Do your duty and your hypocrisy. Put your own worthless life on the line protecting Iraqis people from the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries so they eat mud and can fight their fatwas forever. That's what you want, isn't it? Well, Michael, this is from Michael. Listen up. Now, women with a painted dot on their foreheads are generally Hindu, you see. I looked that up in an encyclopedia or a dictionary or something. They're Hindu, okay? Not Muslims. Muslims don't do dots, all right? They don't eat mud, and they're not monkeys, and they do deserve human rights. I believe freedom is a fundamental human right, but we know that America's occupation of Iraq hasn't got a thing to do about freedom, except to end it for thousands of people. Let's go to the next one. You stupid a-hole, you're speaking against Christ and Bush only until one or the other puts his foot down and puts an end. That's one word, an end. A-N-E-N-D. Put an end to you. There'll be a price to pay. Great men like them. Now, he's talking about Christ and Bush. Great men like them made America great and puny. P-E-W-N-Y. Minds like you are just farts. You are farts, and God will have no mercy on you, so why don't you shut up and stop your winning? I think he meant whining. He sent winning. You're an embarrassment to the U.S. of A, you a-hole. That's from Eric. And Eric, I want to thank you very much for that. I want to thank all of you for your contribution to the program. I do want my audience to know this. Those were some of the nicer letters I got this week. I don't know what happened this week. Was there a full moon this week or something? Because, man, there was some choice stuff that I wish... Oh, I guess Howard Stern could read it if he was on satellite radio. If we were on satellite radio, we'd read that stuff. We actually would. But thanks to all my right-wing friends for sending that in. We hope you will help us prove a point every week, and you certainly have done a remarkable job of it once again. Thank you very much, all of our contributors, for a few minutes of Republican love.
This has been a few moments of Republican love.
You know, that segment always gets me going. I do love it. And, you know, I do feel the love. I get a little bit tingly and a little bit melancholy and all that when I read that. And I love it when they send those in. I was wondering, and, that brings up a point. By the way, you can give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We want to hear from you. I wonder if any of you have thought about the huge paradox that's occurring in America right now. I'm talking about the fact that 85% of Americans claim to be Christians, and yet this is one of the most un-Christian nations among those who have Christianity as their major religion. Have you thought about that much? 85% of Americans say they're Christians, but I think we're a very unchristian nation, and I've seen more unchristian behavior by professed Christians than I care to recount, and I think it's getting worse all the time. I don't have to tell you that the majority of the Christian community here in the U.S. is totally intolerant toward gays, totally intolerant to those who don't hold the same religious beliefs that they do, and I have to wonder about those so-called Christians who want to eliminate all social programs which help the needy and the disadvantaged. You know what they come back with? If I've heard this once, and if you've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times in your life. They like to quote that old saying, "The Lord helps them that helps themselves." They say, quoting the Bible. That quote from the Bible is at the heart of today's conservative movement. The Lord helps those who help themselves. You got to help yourself and make the others do the same. There's only one problem with that. That is not a quote from the Bible, but rather from Ben Franklin. You won't find "the Lord helps those that help themselves" in the Bible. No, sir. Ben Franklin said that. Real students of the Holy Scriptures will tell you that Jesus told his disciples the way to tell the righteous from the damned was by whether or not they'd provided food and water for the hungry and thirsty, clothed the naked, welcomed the stranger, and visited the prisoner. Have we, as a professed Christian nation, adhered to Christ's teaching in that regard, as this 85% of us who are Christians? Some have. Oh, certainly some have. But many are following a completely different path. Many of our so-called Christians are following a political ideology that's the epitome of selfishness. And yet they show up for church every Sunday morning and every Wednesday evening and tell themselves and anyone else will listen that they're such great Christians. They do that a lot. They do it all the time. And again, I'm not talking about everybody, but you know who I'm talking about. You've seen them. We as a nation have become extremely selfish and self-centered. We're ranked second to last. I want you to pay attention to this. We're ranked second to last in government foreign aid. That's a shameful performance for such a rich nation. As you compare us to all the other developed nations, second to last in giving from foreign aid. And yet, if you ask the average American on the street, he or she will tell you that we give money away by the boatload, and they'll swear to you that we give away more foreign aid than any other nation. They will, because they've been programmed to say that over the years. Yeah, the welfare, we're giving to hell, we're giving our money away to all those damn... And they'll say it with pride. And they'll say it with conviction. The only trouble is they'd be terribly wrong. 18% of our American kids live in poverty. We also come in nearly last in infant mortality. Our preschool access and our childhood nutrition, all of those were nearly last amongst the rich nations. Ask yourself that famous Christian phrase that's so popular right now. What would Jesus do about those things? Ye who are amongst the 85% who are beating everybody else over the head with, "I'm a good Christian." You know, we're a violent nation. In fact, the most violent among the rich nation, and our divorce rate's out of sight. Just over half of American marriages break up as compared to the Dutch, which, Americans call the Dutch a godless nation, a godless society. They've only got a 37% divorce rate. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I'm getting really tired of hearing from the far right that we're a Christian nation. especially since they're the ones professing to be the real Christians, and especially since they're the ones who have done more to promote the selfishness than anyone else. They have been the ones who want to forsake the poor and the disadvantaged. If we are, in fact, a Christian nation, we ought to start acting like one. And I don't think we're doing a very good job of it right now. There's more selfishness going on in this country than 30 homeless people died in Phoenix, Arizona over these last few weeks, died of heat. And I heard Bill O'Reilly the other day say, well, they wouldn't have died if they had brains enough to get in someplace where it's cool. You know what, Bill? You know what? If you didn't have the money to pay your electric bill, regardless whose fault it is, and you're infirmed, you're not in good health, maybe you couldn't get to somewhere where it was cool, Bill. And maybe the local mall didn't want somebody who's disadvantaged and clothed poorly sitting on their benches all day long. 30 people, and O'Reilly says, well, it's because they weren't smart enough to get someplace where it's cool. Wow. Let's see, who are we going to go here? Let's go to John. And we got John in Fort Myers and John in Naples. It's a toss-up. Well, John in Naples has been waiting the longest. Hi, John in Naples. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to comment about what it really is like to be a liberal Democrat in Naples, Florida, which I'm sure you know all too well. In high school, because I professed liberal beliefs, I got jumped twice by numerous people.
Whoa.
Yeah, we... Violent nation, that's pretty violent.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think that this right-wing conservative social view of people is from lack of being able to step outside of themselves and see somebody else's situation. I think you'd probably agree. I wish I had a magic wand and I could turn every, you know, Bible-thumping right-winger into a gay person today.
Yeah.
I'm not gay. I'll just use that as an example. At my work during the election season, I became public enemy number one for just muttering my opinion.
Oh sure. And it's not one of those things around here that you're exactly right, John. And most of those people that treated you the way they did and said the things they said to you, they learned what they had to say on right wing radio.
Oh, absolutely.
And oftentimes they'll spout things at you, say things to you, that if you challenge them on it, they can't even answer you because they never have to answer to anybody.
If Limbaugh said, culture they've grown up in, that's what they're used to. They're right. Everybody else is wrong.
That's exactly right.
I don't have hatred for right-wing conservatives. It would be pretty hard to do that living in a town such as this because that's the majority of the people that live here. I don't know. It's crazy. I'm 24. I don't hold grudges against something that happened in high school. I just use it as an example.
Sure. Well, I don't either. And we just have to work on them, John.
I want to tell you that I really love your show. I wish you played 5 days a week on prime time instead of the garbage Michael Savage show that they play. Keep up the good work.
Thanks very much. Good to hear from you, John. And we're going from John in Naples to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, hi. It's a great show this evening. And, you know, this is the type of show I like to hear. I like to hear dialogue. I want to hear information. I want to try to get a little education. And you give me the information, and I'll decide if it's right or wrong. I hate these. The only show I'm like, keep calling John. The only show I really listen to with any pleasure is your show and my friend from up in Tampa in the morning, Mr. Root. But you just don't get good material from the rest of these shows like O'Reilly and Limbaugh and the rest of them. It's slanted information to try to make you think the way they do instead of thinking for yourself. And I just don't understand why so many people will be sheep and follow these guys, especially when they say they don't want to do that kind of thing. They're totally opposite. We have so much that's important about this country. And, you know, when it comes to religion, if God created this earth, he must just be shaking his head the way these good Christians filthy it up, throw their stuff out the car window when they're driving down the road, leaving little messes everywhere they go, and, of course, making war and destroying must what he created. You've got to think about that. Is that a good Christian that goes out there and just take Iraq, for example? Here are a few million innocent people that we've gone over and torn up their country because we're afraid of a few hundred terrorists that are scattered all over the world.
Right.
Makes no sense. And of course, you know, we've got the president with his energy bill. It's 1,700 pages of legislation that he's going to sign, which none of those guys up there have read, except possibly the section that pertains to their little bailiwick, like Alaska's going to get $1 billion worth of pork. $250 million is going to be spent building a bridge a mile long from a population of 8,000 to a population of 50.
Right.
And now, does anybody out there know that? I know that because I saw it in the newspaper while I was watching C-SPAN this morning. They read the article. There's legislation in there that tells you and me how much air to put in our tires. Why is that?
Yeah.
I want programs that are going to tell me that information. And then I'll decide if I like the Republicans or if I like the Democrats or if I think they're both off their rocker. It's amazing. As I've said before, I listen to a lot of world band radio, and I have concluded listening to what goes on in a lot of places around this planet, I have concluded that we don't get the best. We're getting the worst in people who will represent their nations and represent their peoples and try to govern. They're the last on the list for anything that I can find of a good moral standard. And it's terrible. Then we've got this war on terrorism. Now, that's what this government's been calling this for so long. And Rumsfeld, in a speech the other day, mentioned 8 times, I believe, maybe more, that we're not on a war on terrorism anymore.
Yeah, they've changed it.
He's using the words a struggle against extremism.
Yes, they actually had a meeting and renamed it.
Yeah. Now, you know, folks, when they keep renaming the game that they're playing up there, you've got to question whether whoever's up there is really, I know you hate to use the word leading your country, but I'll use the word governing your country. Can't we get better quality people to govern this country? Well, we probably could if all the rules hadn't been made to keep good, decent people out of their running. There's a lot of good, decent people in the Democratic Party, and they constantly, well, I love this word Limbaugh uses, that people are demonizing the Republicans. The demonizing is on the Democrats. They're demonizing Democrats. They just think that the Republicans are God's gift to the world, and that's just not so.
Oh, how many times do you hear that great trio from the shrill Republican? Kennedy, Hillary Clinton, and Chuck Schumer, over and over and over again.
Well, you know, perhaps if we knew what was in those 1,700 pages or a lot more about it, we might stop and think these Republicans are some of the worst people you could ever possibly have governing this country.
Right.
They just made a big pork barrel out there. So anyway, you know, this war on terrorism, it's something. When is this country going to quit fighting wars? Do you realize, I made a list here, we have war on crime, poverty, drugs, smoking, education, cancer, and other bad health problems, and that's just a short list. You can probably find other things that our government says, we're making war on this, that, and the other thing. How about let's just have a good, clean government by good, decent people that have our country's best interests at heart. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for calling, John. Good to hear from you. Yes, how many of you did know that what John brought up? I was going to talk about that a little later, but they actually had meetings back in January, the Bush people did, the high-level Bush people, and Mr. Bush himself, I guess, was in on, and they renamed the War on Terror. It is no longer the World War on Terror. It is now officially the Global Struggle Against Violent Extremism. I love it. The Global Struggle Against Violent Extremism. Yeah, they had a series of Bush administration meetings back in January, and the meeting prompted national security officials to decide that fighting terrorism isn't only a military endeavor, but it also requires some diplomatic and economic political tools. And my God, they finally figured that out. Was it John Stewart, I think, said the war on terror didn't test good. You know, these are the people that said that Clinton ran by polls, ran his mission, and so they tested. You remember when they said they were going to start the war in August of 2003? Which year am I talking about? Am I mixed up? 2002. They were going to start the war then, but Andy Card came out and said, you don't roll out a new product at the end of summer. Yeah, he said that. That's how these people think. That is how these people think. And yet they talked about the Clintons. There I did. I brought up the name. Now I've got it wide open. I brought up the Clinton name, and they're gonna call in and say I brought it up first. But I often wondered if we'd go a whole show and then I did it myself. Gee whiz, I don't know what happened there. But don't forget that, and I want you to write that down now, because it's not the war on global war on terror anymore. And if you want something to strike fear in your heart, and you know on your refrigerator, get one of those little magnet things and put it on there so you get this in your head, and so you can be scared about this every day instead of the global war on terror. A global struggle against violent extremism. Remember, it's a little harder to remember. It sounds a little more cerebral. Actually, than a fight, you know, global war on terror. I think maybe they're, you know, maybe getting a little enlightened there, but they finally figured out there's a political aspect to it. These people, you know, it took 6 months. this kills me. It took 6 months for them to retool that phrase. 6 months. Took 4 years for Bush to realize that fighting terrorism has a political component, and it took 6 months for his senior advisors to retool the slogan. They're really on the ball over there. Really on the ball. And, you know, what we got here, in other words, is just a revising a branding campaign, a new branding campaign, a new way to sell an old bar soap, in other words. That's what we got there. It's propaganda at work. And let no one ever convince you that these people aren't the masters of propaganda. I give them credits. People ask me, do you ever think Bush is good at anything? Damn right I do. They're the best. They're the best. I give it to Andy Card and Karl Rove, the best propagandizer that ever lived on this planet. Lee Atwater couldn't hold a candle to him, and no Democrat could ever come close, not even Bill Clinton. Well, you're listening to the Guy James Show. We're going to stop for some news at the top of the hour. You listen closely, you might learn something. And you might learn something on the back 1 hour of this program. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
You've been listening to the Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of the Guy James Show is on the way. This is the Guy James Show on Wait WNOG. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Benner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad. Yeah.
From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Those hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family, have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, it doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy, finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
Charge, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just that.
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. But he'll get to see it. You hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Hey, you know, some of them on the right thought the Karl Rove story was going to go away. Guess what? It didn't. Didn't go away at all. They thought, my goodness, let's put this Roberts nomination up right now and just blow that Karl Rove thing out of the water. Well, not really. It didn't work. So, you know, this administration has got more gall than any political group in the history of this country. They really do. They don't even bother to explain away their dishonesty lately. They don't. They just give America the finger and move on. Speaking of giving America the finger, how many of you saw that film of Georgie Boy walking away from the podium the other night, turning and holding his hand up in the air? Now, I've seen it in slow motion. I've seen it any way there is to see it. I've seen it frame by frame. First, they tried to explain it away and say that was a pen he had in his hand. No. Not unless he's a great magician, because you saw him walk along. There was nothing in his hand. He raised his hand straight up. There was nothing in his hand. He raised it straight up and had the old one-finger salute to the press behind him. And then they say, no, that was his thumb. Well, unless he's a contortionist sometime, that wasn't his thumb. That was just him giving his honest feelings toward the American public and toward the press. That's what he was doing. But, you take this John Bolton nomination to the UN, for example. Can you believe the stones these guys have threatening to make a recess appointment when Congress goes home for the summer? And this, after it's proven for the entire world to see that they're a wonderful nominee, and don't take my word for this, it is now proven that John Bolton is a flat-out liar. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's not guesswork. It's not an accusation or idle speculation. It's an undeniable fact. And the administration is so bold about it. You heard what happened. I was looking here for the paperwork to see what happened. They ask, they ask the nominee, John Bolton, if he'd been interviewed or asked to supply information in connection with any administrative, including an inspector general, congressional or grand jury investigation within the last 5 years, except routine congressional testimony. And Bolton, in his response on the written paperwork, said no. And if the answer was truthful, and then it remains the case now. That's what the State Department first said. McCormick of the State Department said, yeah, he was truthful when he said no. And by the evening then, McCormick had completely changed his story. McCormick told Reuters then that Bolton's form as submitted was inaccurate. it was the truth, but now it's inaccurate in this regard, and he will correct the form. Now, they caught him making a bold-faced lie. He didn't want anybody to know this. And so the press tells Condoleezza Rice about this on PBS's NewsHour. What we can't be is without leadership in the United Nations, like John Bolton's going to give us leadership. And apparently the administration doesn't care that much about being truthful in Congress. He lied to Congress, and we know it. I mean, there's no guesswork about that. And an anonymous administration official told the Associated Press that the new information does not change the Bush administration's commitment to the Bolton nomination whatsoever. So they don't care he's a flat-out liar. No, they don't care that he lied to the Congressional Committee. They don't care. In your face, boys. In your face. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We asked for your response this evening, and some of you gave it. Now, I'll throw this out to you again. We can discuss it the rest of the evening if you like. But we got roundly criticized last week for saying some things that some of our Democrat friends didn't like, that we weren't toeing the party line on, if there is a party line. And people called, you know, wrote emails, said they were dropping their support of the show and so forth. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you think a good show should be. What's your opinion that would really turn you on for a political talk show? What would it be? I'd like to know. What do you like? What don't you like? What should we do? We like to have, somebody said more Republican love. What are you going to do? Hey, believe me, there are weeks, and this week is one of them. We could have done an hour's worth. No problem. We could have done an hour's worth of Republican love, but that'd have been a bit of overkill. I was thinking this week. Yes, I was thinking. And Johnny looked at me again. I was reading back some old history back during the Clinton administration. There, I said it again, the Clinton administration. And when the Bush administration started up, and when the war on terror started, and they were just, the right was complaining all over the place about how Clinton administration cut military spending, and the bow boy just left us crippled militarily, and all this, that, and the other thing, blah, 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 blah. That we just couldn't cut military spending. Now, here we have a group, the right-wing conservatives, that says, on the one hand, we want to cut your taxes. We're going to cut your taxes. And cut every fat cat in America's taxes. But on the other hand, we need to increase military spending. Do those two things go together? What I want to know. I've been doing some checking, and I found out that the world spent, a lot of you know this, that the world spent about $1 trillion on defense. That's all the countries in the world spent about $1 trillion on military last year. And the startling fact is that one half of that total, of the whole world, of that $1 trillion, $500 billion was spent by the United States of America. Now, our closest rival for pumping money down the drain was China with about $65 billion. Remember, ours was $500 billion on the military. China was second with $65 billion. Great Britain spent about $35 billion. And just to give you an example, a comparison, in Saddam Hussein's last year in power, he spent about $1 billion. His neighbors dwarfed his spending, but still we were told he was some kind of a great threat to the stability of the Middle East and the world. But that's another story. What I want to talk about here is the horrendous waste being foisted upon the American people. $500 billion is approximately $1,800 for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. Military and defense spending for 1 year. Are you getting your money's worth? I think the better question would be, is our military-industrial complex getting their money's worth? Companies like Halliburton and Lockheed Martin and Boeing and their pals, they're raping and pillaging the U.S. Treasury more and more each year, and no one is doing a damn thing about it. Why? Why is it necessary for the United States to spend such an unbelievable amount of money on defense, or in the case of the Bush administration, why are we spending that much money on offense? It's no longer defense. Think about it for a moment. What nation on this earth is a military threat to us? Who? Who is it? Who would it be? Who has the military might to destroy America? The answer is no one. And it's not because we spent $500 billion on military spending. Do you think maybe if we spent only $250 billion, we might still be the big dog on the block? Do you think that with half of our present budget, we wouldn't still intimidate the hell out of the rest of the world militarily? Of course we would. You know, Russia is a mere shadow of what they were under the Soviet regime. And China has the potential and advantage of sheer manpower, but it's going to take years to create a truly world-class military in comparison to ours. No one else is capable of making war with the United States. So tell me, with the Cold War over with, and no serious foes military, what the hell do we need to spend that much money for? Think about how utterly ridiculous it is for the Republicans to be insisting on the one hand that we got to cut taxes, but on the other hand demanding that we spend even more money on the military. Does that not set off any alarms with the voting public? And I don't want to blame the Republicans exclusively for this problem either. There are many Democratic office holders who are guilty of exchanging votes for military spending to benefit their home districts, many Democrats. And they'll vote to keep the military-industrial contributors happy so they can stay fat and happy in Washington. I don't know. This is not a partisan thing in any way. But I would remind you how much screaming came from the right when during the Clinton administration the military budget was cut. Oh, my. We're just going to be defenseless. With only $250 billion spent. You know, Europe has a larger combined economy and population than does all of the United States. And yet the Pentagon seems committed to a policy of whatever's always been, always must be. The military seems more interested in preserving its budget than adjusting its role for the world that's really emerging after the Cold War. So don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying we should scrap the military. I'm not saying we shouldn't remain the class of the world when it comes to weapon system and adequate manpower. I'm just saying that we're wasting nearly half of our military budget. And just think. Just think of the good that would be done with the other $250 billion a year. Not just once, but $250 billion a year. You know where that money can go. Our schools are suffering. Our infrastructure is in need of updating it. Many of our social programs have been eliminated or underfunded. $250 billion could go a long way towards solving those problems. And I'd hearken you back to a statement of a great Republican, Dwight Eisenhower. Dwight Eisenhower, upon leaving office, warned America to beware, and to quote him, beware of the military-industrial complex. And one has to wonder why we didn't take heed to that wise advice from someone who knew full well how insidious the military-industrial complex could be. It's a national disease. It's a national infection that we got to find a cure for. And I think the cure would be to clean house in Washington. What do you think? I know it would. Amazing statistics on that. $500 billion. And our next rival is $65 billion. It's overkill, folks. It is overkill. But it just points out, I saw a story earlier this week, something that kind of dovetails with that, about how Congress, for a lot of these people in Congress, is just a stepping stone to another career. Election to Congress used to be an end in itself, but now for nearly half of all federal lawmakers, it's a stepping stone to a second career, lobbying. There's a new study out that found that 43% of the 198 House and Senate members who left government to join private life since 1998 have registered to lobby. Of the 36 senators who left during that period, half of them joined the lobbying ranks. And the is that dirty or what? I mean, it really is. Stop and think about it. That's they go into the work for these military companies, behemoths like Halliburton and Boeing and Lockheed. It's really an awful thing. Make a career of politics, which they shouldn't do, and then, you know, they use that career in politics to feather their nest with a lobbying company afterwards. Terrible. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven. Hi, Juanita.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a few little things to say. First of all, you were talking about, they say God helps those who help themselves. I believe that God helps those who can't help themselves. And Jesus, can you hear me?
Oh, sure.
I can hardly hear you. Jesus, you know, said he didn't come for those who had no need of him, because the Pharisees said they didn't need him. He said, I came for those who had need of a physician. And that physician means helping everything.
That's
right. You know,
right.
We got helpless children and helpless people. I've been helpless myself sometime when I've been down with disease, you know, so forth. And I didn't know where that saying had come from. I'm glad you told about that, about Ben Franklin saying that.
Yeah.
But a lot of those things that people say, they think it's in the Bible, and it's not.
Right, right.
But
another
thing, you're talking about, they were talking about the Democrats. I mean, I'm really disgusted with that situation. Why are they so afraid to be connected to liberals? You know, I'm talking about the powers that be.
Oh, I know. I know what you're saying, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
And anyway, then it seems like it's okay to say anything they want to about Dean, but no, not the great leader, you know.
I find it as strange, but, you know, who do we have as a great leader right now? Isn't it unfortunate in a country of 280 million people, we don't have somebody stepping forward and taking the reins and being a dynamic leader and someone that you know, most of the people in this country can look up to? We don't have that right now.
Then another thing that Randy Rhodes said the other day about bleeding heart liberals.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek or not, but she said it came from, you know, the bleeding heart. Do you know the picture of Christ with the bleeding heart?
Oh. I don't know. I don't know.
I thought that was interesting. It could very well be.
Well, it could be. It could be. I don't know. I often look into little phrases like that, but that's one I haven't checked out the origin of.
Well, you know, that's an insult for us, you know.
No, certainly.
And then another thing, you know what? What word is also means struggle?
No.
Kampf. Mein Kampf.
Oh, yeah, my struggle, okay. yeah, that's right.
And did you hear about the Democrats having an investigation about Scott McClellan?
No.
Well, you know, he finally lost his voice. Because, you know, he kept having to say the same thing over and over again.
Oh, yeah, about an ongoing investigation.
And anyway, he passed out, went into a coma. And the Democrats, you know, they still think they can get a response from him. But Bill Frist watched the video, and he said, no, he's gone. You just as well pull the plug. He wouldn't want to live like this. And then the Republicans blamed it on the recent crash diet, because there's pressure on press secretaries to be thin.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, Owen McClellan, he's had a hard way to go lately.
Yeah, yeah.
Real hard way to go.
Okay.
Thank you for your call, Juanita. Good to hear from you.
You too. Bye-bye.
How many of you are upset with this? You know, I hate to belabor the point, but the Pentagon this week blocked the release of those Abu Ghraib images, you know, the other pictures. And I haven't spent my life since the first one coming out saying, oh, my God, I can't wait to see the rest of this picture. But they were supposed to come out this week, 87 photographs and 4 videos from Abu Ghraib prison that the Pentagon, really in an 11th-hour move, blocked from release this weekend. They blocked them. They don't want anybody to see these. Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld told Congress last year, and I don't know how many of you saw this, but after viewing a large cache of those unreleased pictures, and this is a quote from Rumsfeld. He said, "I mean, I looked at them last night, and they're hard to believe. They show acts that can only be described as blatantly sadistic, cruel, and inhumane." And a Republican senator suggested the same day that they contain scenes of rape and murder. You know, no wonder Rumsfeld commented then, and Rumsfeld then said, if these are released to the public, obviously it's going to make matters worse. Is this not an open society? Is it not? You know, yesterday the news came out that the lawyers for the Pentagon refused to cooperate with federal judge's order to release dozens of those photographs and the videos from the Abu Ghraib prison. They're supposed to release them by Saturday, and the administration said no. Is this not a free society? You know, the Pentagon lawyers, they sent a letter to the federal court and said they'd file a sealed brief explaining their reasons for not turning over the material. Wouldn't you love to read that one? What can they possibly say? We don't want them, you know, if they tell the truth, we don't want anybody to see this because all that stuff did go on in those prisons. We're ashamed of it, and we don't want anybody to see. And if it's the Bush administration, they'd be saying, we didn't hold anybody accountable that really counts. You know, Rush Limbaugh is selling T-shirts and mugs now about Club Gitmo, making light of the fact of what goes on there. And he made plenty of light in the fact of what goes on at Abu Ghraib prison, likening it to initiation ceremonies of a fraternity or a sorority. Really, Rush? You know, and one of the Pentagon lawyers, I really got a charge out of this one. One of the Pentagon lawyers argued that the picture shouldn't be released because it'd only add to the humiliation of the prisoners, like we couldn't block out the faces of the victims. But, you know, Rumsfeld, you know, again to quote him, he said, "I looked at them last night and they're hard to believe." And I'd read you some of the gory details, but I'm not going to. They're really terrible. But Rumsfeld himself told Congress that these photos and videos contain acts that can only be described as blatantly sadistic, cruel, and inhumane. But they want to hide them from us. They don't want us to see it. I have no particular desire to see these. But what does bother me is the fact that they want to hide them. I mean, they should be out in the open. Anybody who wants to see them should see them. They should be fully aware of what our military is doing. They should be fully aware of what our military is doing from top to bottom. And if these abuses were going on in that prison, they're responsible for the feelings, the hard feelings the Iraqis have for America. It's put our soldiers' lives in danger. I think there's little question of what went on in those prisons and what goes on in Gitmo have put our soldiers' lives in danger, in peril, every single day. And I don't think that should go on. And if they're going to hide these pictures and it's going to endanger, you know, if these pictures are going to endanger the lives of our soldiers, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. I'm ashamed to get away with this. I really am. It's, something that's hard to live with. And did you hear the other night about the CAFTA vote? All the coercion that took place on that. If you like to comment on that, you can give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Another one of those deals where lots of Republicans weren't going to vote for CAFTA, but Bush started twisting their arms. We had some of them swore they weren't going to vote for it, but by the end of the night, they did. And guess why? Because the deals started coming forth. Yes, the White House came out with deals for them. What was it? Congressman Adderholt from, where's he from? Alabama. He's from some city down there that makes a lot of socks, I guess. They promised him the moon if he'd change his vote, and he did. Oh, he did. Let's make a deal. That's what went on. Did you see that one or two of the votes were counted as not voting? There were no votes from Republicans. At least one and maybe two said they voted no on CAFTA, and their vote turned up as a no, as a not voting. You don't think they would? Nah, they wouldn't do that, would they? Well, they did. And, you know, he's checked into it, but the vote's official now. It's official. But, you know, this CAFTA thing, I think it's another disaster. It's going to remove the trade barriers between the United States and Costa Rica and El Salvador and Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and the Dominican Republic. Do you remember when this whole thing started, this trade with China started out? Do you remember that? Do you remember what was the prevailing feeling at the time? Oh, my God, we've got this huge untapped market over in China. Let's get the American companies over there. Woo. This is going to be a bonanza for the United States of America. Think of the exports if we get into China. Well, China got a hold of that little baby, and they just turned it right around on us. And look what happened. We thought, what a market. That, you know, the Chinese market will be ours. Well, the Chinese said, hey, the American market will be ours. And they captured it, and now look at the trade deficit with China. And we're going to be looking at the same thing with this CAFTA deal. It's a disaster. Disaster. It really is. But they went for it anyway. Another corporate welfare deal. That's all it is. It didn't protect any jobs. It's going to send more jobs to other countries. There's no question about it. And, you know, the Republicans that didn't want to go along with it, they were threatened with punishment from the leadership of the Republican Party. They're awfully good at that. Old Tom the Hammer, they don't call him the Hammer for nothing. He's really good at rounding these people up and threatening them with their political lives if they don't march in lockstep with him. But I'd like to know what you have to say about CAFTA. Any of you union members, what do you think about it, if there's any union members left? I think we're down to 1 out of 10 people in the country that are union members now. It's and all this trouble with the AFL-CIO this past week, fragmenting. I fear that for the time being, the unions in the United States are not going to be a force at all. And I think the American worker will rue the day that unions lost their power. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of abuses by unions over the years. There's no question about that. A lot of abuses. Just one abuse after another. You think of Jimmy Hoffa and you think of that sort of thing. And it was bad what they did. But the good things far outweigh the bad if you put them on the scales. And the American worker right now is just literally unprotected. Unprotected. They're at the mercy of Walmart, biggest employer in the country. Some of them tried to unionize Walmart, tried to unionize the meat cutters, tried to unionize. What'd they do? They dropped all their meat cutting the very next day. They closed the store in Canada that tried to unionize. Close it up. They're going to beat the unions one way or another, and they've certainly got them down by now. Now it's being fragmented. We've got a bad situation for labor in this country. I'd like to hear your opinions on it. We're going to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour coming up, and you're listening to the Guy James Show, and we hope you'll be back with us right after these words.
The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Help! Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Mike DeAngelis, San Jose, California. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mehef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. bass.
Yeah. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings of hurt and pain who make us too appealing. I hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family, have an evil empire just like his dear old dad, get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy, finish up my war and cover up his lies, be evil and show no feelings to listen to Dick Cheney, who will tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Roof, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just,
George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. He'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show.
The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04 right now. And chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
And we're back. Hey, are you a supporter of The Guy James Show? Just head for our website www.theguyjames.com. Don't forget to put the on there, theguyjamesshow.com. And we got PayPal and Amazon on there. And we also have our snail mail address on that site as well. So you can donate to the program on there. That's what keeps the hamsters going in the next room here, folks, running that little treadmill, keeping everything going around here. I'd like to thank some of our donors. And let's just do that right now. I'll just go down a list of them right here. Joanne Mason, James Watt, Catherine O'Hara, Lawrence Nader, Alan Giles, Susan Crane, Casey O'Hara, Michael Packer, our good friend Ben Burch. And let me remind you, as I'm talking about Ben Burch, you want to listen to some good liberal radio. Got some good ones on his website. Great archives on there of many good shows. www.whiterosesociety.org. Ben, thank you so much for all you do for liberal radio. Ben's an important cog in the wheel, a big cog in the wheel. Angela Natoli, Pamela Stancrest, Dwayne Johnson, Pamela Grimm, Alan Giles, Eric Jaffa, Cynthia Sinkovich, John Bogan, Patricia Corcoran, Ida Davis, Car Audio of Florida, Judith Schuyler, Sharon Shore, Brian Moss, Elinda Davis, Joe Slater, Matthew Allen, Alan Brooks, John Jarvis, Bill Taylor, Kelly Messinas, Tim Lyman, Bill Allen, Cotty Barada, Robert DeVale, Marie Nelson, Darcy Kane, Paul LeBlanc, Teresa Avalon, Donna Greathouse, Judy Armstrong, and Anton Roschek. We'd like to thank all those folks for either now or in the recent future, or recent past, donating to the program.
To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
All righty, good. You do that. Please do that. Help stay, keep us on the air. I want to read you some quotes. I want to read you some quotes and see if you can figure out who they came from and about what here. Here's one. You can support the troops, but not the president. You can support the troops, but not the president. Who do you suppose said that? why Tom DeLay said that about Bill Clinton. You remember these guys saying, hey, by saying nasty things or saying anything derogatory about the president, you're not supporting the troops? That's what the Republicans say. That's their hue and cry right now. Oh, don't criticize the administration. Oh, no, don't do that. If you do that, you're not supporting the troops. Let me give you another quote. American foreign policy is now one huge big mystery. Simply put, the administration is trying to lead the world with feel-good foreign policy. Tom DeLay. Mm-hmm. How about another one here? If we're going to commit American troops, I love this one. If we're going to commit American troops, we must be certain they have a clear mission, an achievable goal, and an exit strategy. Huh? Karen Hughes, speaking on behalf of George W. Bush. There's another one. I had doubts about the bombing campaign from the beginning. I didn't think we had done enough in the diplomatic area. Senator Trent Lott. My, aren't these odd. Well, here's another one. Well, I just think it's a bad idea. What's going to happen? Is there going to be over there 10, 15, maybe 20 years? Joe Scarborough. Oh, yeah. Here's another one. I cannot support a failed foreign policy. History teaches us that it is often easier to make war than peace. Duh. This administration is just learning that lesson right now. Blah, 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 blah. There was no strategic plan for war when the president started this thing, and there still is no plan today. Tom DeLay speaking about Bill Clinton once again. Mm-hmm. And here's one. Here's another one. Explain to the mothers and fathers of America's servicemen that may be coming home in body bags why their son or daughter have to give up their life. Sean Hannity, my favorite. Isn't it odd when the shoe's on the other foot? These people criticized what went on in Kosovo. They criticized every step Clinton made. But that was okay. That was patriotic. But now that the Democrats criticize this know-nothing president we have now, this do-nothing president we have now, this man in the White House without a clue, this man that started a war with no exit strategy, this man who started a war without proper intelligence, this man who started a war on trumped-up charges and intelligence that was phony, and he knew it was phony, and it's coming to light now. Every single day we're finding out more. That's okay. That's okay that we do that. Sure. That's just fine. We can do that all day long. Man, I'll tell you. But you've seen the polls this week, haven't you? You have seen the polls this week. It's not looking good for Mr. Bush. Even the best polls got his popularity down to 44%. And that's not good for a second-term president. Certainly not good at all. I'd be embarrassed if I was a man in his shoes to have that kind of... But he doesn't care. You saw him give the finger to the whole world the other day, and he's been doing that ever since he came into office. Maybe not actually physically like that, but he's been verbally giving us the finger all the time through his words and actions. That's most certainly the way it is. Man has contempt for the American public. A man has contempt for all of his political opponents. He's got contempt for everybody in the world except himself. It's really disgraceful. It really is. And I don't know how many of you followed it this week, but my, the energy bill. You know, we're going to use ethanol a little more. Okay, fine. It's going to make some of the corn farmers happy. Make some of my relatives happy. They grow corn. But, you know, it's not going to be a big help. And they did nothing on the gas mileage of the cars. They did nothing on the, you know, they've lowered emissions for the factories. Clean air going down the tubes. The energy bill, what I was saying, the point I was trying to make earlier about this, though, is they're going to have this big ceremony in the White House, and Bush is going to have about 15 Republicans standing behind him, and he's going to sit there and sign this energy bill. And when the next election comes up, all the congressmen and Republicans running across the stage, we voted for this energy bill. We passed this energy bill. And the average Joe American sitting out there that doesn't know squat about this energy bill, only what Rush Limbaugh tells them. That's all they know. Well, this is a good thing. But they don't know what's in it. So they'll say, and Rush will be telling them, see, the Republicans did this for you. They passed this. Never mind that it was the old green weenie. Oh, no. We haven't used that term in a long time. But, yeah, never mind that it was a disaster. Never mind it did nothing for the American public. Never mind that it was nothing but a corporate, another corporate welfare bill from the Bush administration. Never mind any of that. They're going to try and make political hay out of it, and they will. And you know the sad part about it? Republican, the Democrats will let them. They'll let them. You know, we started off this program tonight talking about liberal radio. And as many of you know, it's struggling mightily. You got Air America on, you got Ed Schultz on, you got Stephanie Miller on, you got Randy Rhodes and Mike Malloy, a couple of friends of mine, and not a whole lot else around the country. Ray Taliaferro and who else? I'm missing somebody. Doug Basham out in Las Vegas, and I don't know, I'm missing somebody else here. Tom, of course. I don't want to forget Tom. But it's not a drop in the bucket. If you added up all of the liberal talkers' audiences together, lumped them all together, it wouldn't come to 10% of Rush Limbaugh's audience in a day. And why is that? I wish somebody would explain it to me. Are we that dull? Are we that boring? Are Democrats more cerebral and don't care for that sort of thing? Are Republicans more mind-numbed and able to sit and listen to that blather that Rush Limbaugh tells you all? Is there a difference in intellect here? Is that it? I know some Democrats that'll tell you that. Yes, we're more elite and we care for more cerebral things, and that's why we don't want to listen to the banter on the radio. We like NPR, we like this, and we like that. Whereas the Republicans are a bunch of mind-numb robots, and they'll sit and listen to what Rush Limbaugh has to say all day without questioning it. And I know people who listen to Rush Limbaugh and would never question anything the man says. A drug-addicted pill addict. And yet they'll sit there and listen to him and say, yeah, Rush, he really knows everything, and he's really honest, too. Yeah, he was honest with those people for a long time, wasn't he? Addicted to pills and having his maid out in the Denny's parking lot buying them for him and everything. Yeah, he was really honest, a straightforward, straight-up guy. And the only reason he brought it to light in the first place is because he got caught. That's all. Do you think for 1 minute that Limbaugh would have brought this out in the open if he hadn't got caught? Hell no. Certainly not. We still wouldn't know anything about it. Knew something was wrong, but I digress. Heard him running off the mouth quite a bit one day, and I said, man, there's something wrong here. And it wasn't 2 days later that he admitted that he had this problem. But the point I was making here is a lot of people will listen to that all day long. They'll listen to Hannity all day long and just follow what they have to say without question, without checking out their facts. Just blindly follow. And that's upsetting. It really is. I don't know why people do that. I wouldn't expect them to do that with me. I don't want my audience to do that with me. I expect you to check out what I have to say. Find out if what I have to say is factual. And I think you'll find that it is. We're going to pause for a break right now. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Guy James Show.
This is the Democrat Radio Network, your weekend station.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Urban Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Mike DeAngelis, San Jose, California. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mehef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
It is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe, cause I'd never be alone. We GOP shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Those hurt and pain who make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family, have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy, finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just that.
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. But he'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show.
The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04 right now. And chime in. You're on the Guy James Show.
Show, the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Production director Johnny Johnson with J2K Productions. Program coordinator Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. This has been the Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station.
Wing WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. A terror suspect speaks up. Osman Hussein, held in Rome, admits to playing a role in the failed London bombings, but says he did not intend to kill anyone.
Osman and his quote-unquote Islamic brothers were unhappy with arrests after the 7/7 bombings and decided to send a message or a scare to Londoners. The Italian foreign minister isn't buying it. He says if the bombs were better built, that the 7/21 attacks would have been more deadly than the ones on 7/7.
Fox's Steve Brown in Rome. Safe shuttle. NASA says the space shuttle Discovery is free of any serious damage and should be safe upon return to Earth.
I am pleased to report that the tile and blankets have been formally cleared by the engineering team in terms of any little damage areas that we had.
Deputy Shuttle Program Manager Wayne Hale, who says the shuttle will spend an extra day in space. Two astronauts performing their first spacewalk with another planned on Monday. Digging for a disappearing girl. Police in Aruba searching a landfill for signs of missing teenager Natalie Holloway. A witness who was at the site with searchers says several men took a body to that location. Meanwhile, the draining of a nearby pond has been halted after another witness reported some strained activity there. And the commander-in-chief, fit as a fiddle. In other news, again, digging for a disappearing girl, police in